Hey everyone, this is Mary DeMuth and this is Pray Every Day, where I pray through the Bible verse by verse. We're in 1 Corinthians 11 in the Passion Translation, and it says this: I want you to pattern your lives after me just as I pattern mine after Christ, and I give you full credit for always keeping me in mind as you follow carefully the substance of my instructions that I've taught you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the source of every human alive, and Adam was the source of Eve, and God is the source of the Messiah. Any man who leads public worship and prays or prophesies with a shawl hanging down over his head shows disrespect to his head, which is Christ. And if any woman is in a place of leadership within the church or prays or prophesies in public with her long hair disheveled, she shows disrespect to her head, which is her husband, for this would be the same as having her head shaved. If a woman who wants to be in leadership will not conform to the customs of what is proper for women, she might as well cut off her hair. But if it's disgraceful for her to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. A man in leadership is under no obligation to have his head covered in the public gathering because he's the portrait of God and reflects his glory. The woman, on the other hand, reflects the glory of her husband, for man was not created from woman, but woman from man. By the same token, the man was not created because the woman needed him. The woman was created because the man needed her. For this reason, she should have authority over the head because of the angels. So then, I have to insist that in the Lord, neither is woman inferior to man, nor is man inferior to woman. For just as woman was taken from the side of man, in the same way man was taken from the womb of a woman. God is the source of all things, designed it this way. So then you could decide for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her hair unbound? Doesn't our long-established cultural tradition teach us that if a man has long hair that is ornamentally arranged, it invites disgrace? But if a woman has long hair that is ornamentally arranged, it is her glory? That is because long hair is the endowment that God has given her as a head covering. If someone wants to quarrel about this, I want you to know that we have no intention to start an argument, neither I nor the congregations of God. Now, on this next matter, I wish I could commend you, but I cannot, because when you meet together as a church family, it is doing more harm than good. I've been told many times that when you meet as a congregation, divisions and cliques emerge, and to some extent, this doesn't surprise me. Differences of opinion are unavoidable, yet they will reveal which ones among you truly have God's approval. When all of your house churches gather as one church family, you are not really properly celebrating the Lord's Supper. For when it comes time to eat, some gobble down their food before anything is given to others. One is left hungry while others become drunk. Don't you all have homes where you can eat and drink? Don't you realize that you're showing a superior attitude by humiliating those who have nothing? Are you trying to show contempt for God's beloved church? How should I address this appropriately? If you're looking for my approval, you won't find it. I have handed down to you what came to me direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and gave thanks. Then he distributed it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat your fill. It is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." He did the same with a cup of wine after supper and said, "This cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and blood of the Lord. So let each individual first evaluate his own attitudes and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For continually eating and drinking with a wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. This insensitivity is why many of you are weak, chronically ill, and some even dying. If you do not sit in judgment of others, you will avoid judgment yourself. But when we are judged, it is the Lord's training so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my fellow believers, when you assemble as one to share a meal, show respect for one another and wait for all to be served. If you are that hungry, eat at home first, so that when you gather together, you will not bring judgment upon yourself. When I come to you, I will answer the other questions you asked me in your letter. Mind if I pray for you? Lord Jesus, wow, that's a lot here. But I am so grateful that men and women are included in your great body and that we have responsibilities. And Lord, I pray that we would carry out our responsibilities before you with fear and trembling, but with joy as well, knowing that we are serving you not serving ourselves, not serving our interests, but serving you. So help us to honor you in the way that we serve. And I know that a lot of things like head coverings are a cultural thing. So I'm not going to make commentary about that, but I do know that the principle is that we honor you and we love others as we serve you and serve others. So Lord, help us to learn what that means in our cultural context. And Lord, thank you for this very famous passage about the Lord's Supper. Thank you for reminding us that we should not take it in an unworthy manner. And so Lord, even today, even though perhaps we're not taking communion today, I just pray that we could be in that same posture, that posture of listening, that posture of examining our hearts, that posture of asking you to search our hearts because you know all things. Search me and try me and know my anxious thoughts. Know me, Lord. Find out if there's sin in my heart and please show me the way everlasting. That is my heart cry. That's my prayer. And Lord, we thank you that as we confess our sins, you are faithful, you are righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I pray for my friend listening today who feels like they have a mountain of sins that they can't seem to get rid of and they're constantly reminded of and it feels like this black tar sticking to them. Lord Jesus, today's the day of cleansing. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would turn all of that over to you, surrender it to you as an offering. And how cool that we can offer even the most difficult parts of ourselves as an offering. And so we offer it to you. We give you all the pain, all the sin, all the things we regret, all the things that haunt us at night, and we lay them at your feet. And we thank you that you take them as an offering and you have chosen through the blood that you shed to forgive us. And so thank you. Thank you right now that I can stand in that forgiveness and the person listening today is clean as far as the east is from the west, white as snow, utterly clean. So we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to Pray Every Day. If you want to record your prayer for the prayer episode, you can go to marriedmuth.com/pray and I will pray for you. Be listening for that on the first Sunday of the month. And if you'd like the free ebook devotional about spiritual warfare and how to kind of make it through these difficult times, you can go to marriedmuth.com/prevail. Thank you so much for listening to Pray Every Day. I'm grateful for you. And I pray that today would be a day that you experience for the first time, maybe, the forgiveness and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.